Yeah.
And we'll test.
That's gonna prick you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, they say bananas like are the best for getting quick energy, right? Or like that doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you want, if you have issues with blood sugar, and this took me a decade of living in the States to figure out, like things to do and things not to do. Like, do not approach a Starbucks ever. Like, just do not. Like, just walking through the front door will increase your blood sugar by about 10 points.
Or do you not go to Panera Bread and order one of those triple
lattes? Oh, yeah.
That the person died from.
Yeah, yeah, that was hilarious.
So, Sean, this is very tasty. So
is it?
Thank
good.
You very much.
Yeah.
Thank you very
good.
Much.
Good. I'm glad it's good.
I like hazies.
What is it? Astral Parliament Pipeworks. Astral Parliament. Whatever that is.
Well, it was new. It was at the grocery store. I'm like, oh, that'll be the perfect beer to bring in when I don't want drinking. Because though I don't hate hazies, I don't love hazies, you know.
But this is...
I'm with like, you. It's this, not that bad. Yeah. It's not orange juicy.
It, right. It looks kind of like it's going to be very citrusy and very pineapple-y or something. Or,
I know.
No, it's not. It's just nice.
Cheers.
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 Look
cheers.
At the look at the group. We got a big
this is
group.
Like a full house. I know.
It's a full house. Really hey. We got a Ross here.
Where's
talking
Giggles?
About the full group. Sadly,
Friday.
I found out that Giggles won't be here next week like we talked about.
Oh,
so,
shoot.
All right. We are the Worldwide IT Guys. I'm Steve.
I'm Dion.
John.
Sean.
And Ross.
And we thought we were going to get Giggles to join us, but apparently he's only around on the weekend. He goes
Friday and then
came
Monday
for the party.
He's out Monday.
Yeah. Yep.
So. He's out Monday.
Yeah, he's not even coming to the office. Just
what?
Going to Seattle to
good
suck up
him.
To Irk. Just,
oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
He wants to go out there where he will ski and Irk will watch him because he can't, right?
Oh, is he still broken?
Because of
he's broken.
Shoulder.
Broken flipper.
Bum flipper, man. What are you going to do?
We have nicknames for everyone. Flipper, Giggles.
Well, no, that's not his name. He's got it's a flipper. It's, you know.
I mean, call him Flipper.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
It's like Seinfeld. Bobo. George's Bobo.
Oh, dear. I've been seeing, so social media has become really good at that, right? Instagram sharing all of their silly things. So I've been seeing a lot of old Seinfeld clips via Instagram. I don't know.
Whoever owns Seinfeld rights is all over.
Oh, my gosh.
So I have a theory that there's a, like an ad agency behind these. Because so I got into Loudermilk because I saw a couple of clips on social media. Because you kind of see it and you go like, oh, this is my type of humor. What is this? Then I Googled around a little bit. Then I found it and then I finished it. So I kind of feel like that this is not an accident.
They want to get that generation that never watched it in the 90s watching it again like they did with Friends.
Yeah.
This is rinse and repeat marketing.
God, well, bring back Cheers.
Friends
Cheers is next.
God,
Cheers
that'd
is
be
next.
Awesome.
Cheers Friends, Friends, I would sort of even, you know, imagine was organic because there's a lot of people that are absolutely crazy about Friends and even Seinfeld. But like Loudermilk, I mean,
yeah,
that just seemed a little bit odd to me. I mean, I loved the show.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's really good. It's three seasons. They kind of ended it. Okay.
But I mean, I haven't seen it on Instagram yet. So then maybe they haven't
maybe. Yet,
so.
Yeah.
But I've seen all the Seinfeld crap and I've seen all the Friends crap.
Yeah.
Seen,
I mean,
you know,
they run like Seinfeld repeats all the time on like
and I know
comedy. And every time we see like a block, we watch
oh,
them all.
Yeah. You're just talking
it's
about
just,
on
yeah.
TV where, yeah.
It's like Godfather, Goodfellas, Seinfeld.
So
gotta watch
Seinfeld's
it.
Actually on Netflix and we're kind of skimping out because we only have like half a season 9 left. We started from the beginning like a couple of months ago. Well, actually, I think it's more than a couple of months. It might have been over a year. We sort of when we don't have anything better to do, like we got like 30 minutes before we want to go to bed, just do a Seinfeld episode. And we loved it. Like I really did like it.
So all the streaming services have been clamping down and people sharing accounts and all the stuff that's going on there. They're doing what they're doing. it feels like the content explosion has slowed, that there isn't as much, but there are some things that, that kind of come out, and they're no longer events. It's not like, like I saw, I think in New York Times, I saw Kate Winslet on the magazine cover, and I was looking at that going, you know, why is Kate Winslet back in the news? Oh, she's got a new show on one of the streaming services. I had no idea. Whereas it felt like for 2-3 years, every time there was a new show, there was so much marketing around it that it was a big deal. And it just doesn't feel like that's happening.
Because we haven't seen anything good. Like, what was the last new good thing that you saw and you were like, this is excellent? Like, even with movies, not just with TV shows. Like, they just came out with a reboot that got extended to 3 seasons for Avatar: The Last Airbender. And yes. I mean, it's a pale copy of the original. I'm a huge fan of the original animated series.
Right, but you haven't written it. Like, that's a big. Did you guys know Last Airbender? Though, so it's a.
Didn't watch a lot of it, but I saw it.
It's an anime.
I live under rocks. So
style thing, cartoon like routine, mm-hmm. right? And my kids loved it, and even in my family, there's like, Emily just like hates it, because she's heard bad things, not because she spent any time with it. And then
hates
my
the
youngest
TV,
Peter.
TV show.
No. Hates the current.
Yeah, the current
iteration
one.
Of it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, my youngest is like, it's actually pretty good. Give it, cut it some slack.
Well, I feel like we're getting a little bit derailed because I can vent about this for a while. But we were kind of talking about like the streaming services.
Don't derail, but this is what we do.
Yeah.
Have you heard the podcast?
Fan of the show. Come on.
I'm trying to keep us on track. Come on.
There's no agenda here.
There's I'll talk about the Airbender, but I kind of wanted to go back to the previous point. It was like, you know, clamping down. I canceled quite a lot of these services. I've canceled HBO. I've canceled Hulu. I've canceled quite a bit. And Netflix is the only one that survived.
I canceled Plex a while ago. Oh, sorry.
That's damn it. Too soon, Steve.
I've started. I've actually started a Plex server. I'll talk about that in a bit. But
Serbian bootlegs only?
I love this.
So it's annoying. It's really annoying. So ever since Dougflix went away, you know, like, so I have a collection of like things on my hard drive, actually not on one hard drive, but like multiple hard drives. And, you know, when I was in high school and then college, there were no streaming services per se. So if you wanted something, you either had to buy it, or if you lived in Serbia, you just downloaded it. And I have terabytes of this stuff.
Is it
and
just home videos?
No, it's literally like the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Hercule Poirot, Stargate SG-1. Like,
there's a show rips or bootlegs, about young, right? young professionals that live in New York, and it's called Comrades. it's great stuff. You're going to love it.
Anyway, so I actually, I was talking to Doug about this, and I just wanted to set up something for my home office, and I actually did, and I am currently running a Plex server that I can access from here, and I have a library set up there, and I have a lot of work. I mean, I should probably just re-download these, but I already downloaded them, and I have... You remember when we didn't have that much hard drive space? What we used to do was we would grab a DVD and we would burn like 5 or 6 movies onto a DVD. And that I have at my mother's place, I think about like 3,000 of those.
30,000 discs or 30,000 movies?
3,000 discs.
3,000.
3,000,
not
30,000.
Yeah.
That's still a lot of
discs. Well, no. It's multiple shelves of just like... You know, I think kilos or pounds of weight might be a better way to count them than...
Well, I used to have one of those humongous, like, DVD towers.
Multiples of them.
That I ripped everything to a hard drive, and it's like, do I still keep all these movies now?
So what I'm actually going to do is... I'm going to go in and I'm just going to grab them, download them, put them on a hard drive. I bought a RAID card and I got a couple of hard drives coming.
I know a guy that has some thoughts about how to do all of that, if you want to...
It's
a
process, yeah.
You know, there's a lot you could do.
Yeah.
Amazing amounts of technology you can put in your home.
We've been pirating for 25 years.
Yeah, 25 years. So I need that to come back to digital.
I don't know how strictly they enforce copyright laws, but I know there's like services where you can send a bunch to and they just give you like a USB drive back. But I don't know if they'd be like, oh no, we can't do it for copyrighted material.
Yeah. I think I've talked about this before. I am the guy who would prefer, like, even if somebody is able to share things, I prefer to know that I'm paying for services, because there's content. That, I mean, you're a content creator.
Yeah.
You're, you know, the comedian in the group who does work and builds things and needs to pay his, you know, bills and do what needs to be done. So I'm constantly concerned about this whole taking content for free mentality. The services, the problem of having so many different places to go and needing, I would much rather say, hey, I'm paying for all these services and somebody else has aggregated all of it nicely and neatly in a way that I can consume it. And this is still not as good as it needs to be.
Like, well, what's funny is you have to go to the illegal sites to do that.
Right.
Because they have done that
right.
for you.
So I the have, aggregation. Like, yeah. You know, there's Apple TV in the world. Yeah. There's whatever the other one is that everybody uses. There's Google TV. There are these devices that now you're plugged into your network, whether you're a Comcast service or whatever, and they do the job for
Fire
you.
Fire sticks, yeah.
Like, there's this stuff in the software that then says, you can search for things, but those guys are all kind of just going, well, here it is. Do you want to buy it? It's like, no, I already paid for something.
Yeah.
Why are you giving me, like, the first options, rent it on this service or rent it on that service? I get the service, and I should just have – that should be prioritized for me.
It is not Xfinity for me, just so you know. Yeah, I can do that.
I always thought it was funny – like how Netflix, like Google will at least be like, okay, you could maybe do it this way or that way. Or like Netflix is like, Godfather, never heard of it. You know,
100%.
Did
right?
you mean Father of Horses?
Yeah.
Which we have out of Thailand, you know?
Horse heads. We have horse heads. But yes.
There's a couple of things that you guys probably, you know, don't really even consider. Like, for example, like my Netflix library in Serbia changes significantly as soon as I cross the border. And, you know, like I've paid for quite a bit of, I kind of felt bad for pirating all the stuff, you know, in my youth. So when I came to the States, I was like, all right, well, now I have a little bit of disposable income. Let me actually pay for some of this stuff. But even that is a pain in the ass. Like half of my library is in Amazon when I was actually giving them money. Half of it is in Google.
YouTube.
So like, for example, there's a new Lord of the Rings cut. They did a 20th anniversary cut where they basically have an extended trilogy version, but it's just color corrected. And I feel like that's kind of bullshit because I want to see that. And I already gave you money for both for the regular trilogy and for the extended trilogy. And now it's like $35 on Amazon to get like the box set.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, okay, fine for the box set. But I mean, you know, digitally, I already have the regular version and the extended version, and I have to pay for the color corrected.
Do you still have a DVD player hooked up in your house?
I have a PlayStation, so I can, put hard drives into that. But it's
check
just
with me before you, if you want to rip something. I've been buying Blu-ray since before it existed.
Yep.
So
he invented.
And the pretzel bun. Wait, was the pretzel bun the inspiration for the Blu-ray, or was the Blu-ray the inspiration
for
the pretzel
bun? They were very back-to-back slam dunks for me. Yeah.
I think we'll give you a zombie ice, too. I mean, you're that.
Yeah, I call that shit.
You've been calling zombie ice since it came out.
Craft ice beer, here comes.
That's yours.
Oh, dude. Hey, so we just talked about a lot of entertainment-type stuff, but we didn't talk about the Oscars, and they just happened.
Oh, yeah. So
did
good.
Did anybody care?
No.
I enjoyed the Oscars.
We watched part of it.
I heard it was like a really good event, but I didn't really see it or anything.
It was really good. I think I only
saw two movies. Kimmel, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
He's up there with Billy Crystal.
I think Kimmel... I will give this. I did watch the whole.
He doesn't sing and dance. I get it.
You watched the whole thing?
I watched the whole Oscars ceremony.
Me too.
And I will tell you,
he could stay up.
I was very happy.
I know.
Very happy.
I know.
It ended at 9:30. It was like brilliant.
Yeah, you're like, good night.
I mean, dozing off at the end, but
I mean they were filling time at the end. They usually were like, holy go, and then
was,
you know,
it was pretty
Pacino
good.
Does his stupid thing and then.
But I will say that the crowd, like, they gave him a standing O when he came out on stage. And it's like, okay.
Jimmy Kimmel?
Jimmy Kimmel didn't deserve a standing ovation to start the show, okay? Now, he had a good show, and maybe next year if he's doing it again, maybe he's now starting to get to the point where he earned some of that.
I wonder if there's a backstory to that, though. I don't think it was just, we love Kimmel so much, we'll stand.
Yeah, there might be.
Yeah.
But there
I
were
saw
other,
that, too, though, yeah.
There were other moments where there was, like, standing ovations for things where it's like, what are you doing?
Well, that's Kamala Harris's, you know, that's what this is. She's setting the trend.
Oh, okay.
The State of the Union, she stood up and clapped every 3 seconds. That's what people
she
do
has
now.
To do that, though.
So I was a bit annoyed by that. But the things that stood out to me, if you guys haven't seen the...
Wait, didn't Oppenheimer just get everything?
Yeah.
Oppenheimer won a ton of stuff.
How many nominations? Yes.
But to, you know, going that way... Poor things. Like, now I want to watch that movie. I had no idea that I wanted to watch
funny.
This movie.
It's like not a kid movie.
It is a...
I've heard it's a very black comedy.
Very black comedy. Yeah.
Nikki saw it, and I think she really liked it.
So I heard this much about it, and basically, it's about a girl who
like
dies.
Yeah.
And but she was pregnant, and the baby is effectively put into her body. So you've got a 28, 30-year-old woman walking around or whatever Emma Stone is, walking around with a baby's brain.
Okay.
And it's that kind of scenario. And I heard that, and I was like, okay, that sounds
like
weird
Joe Biden.
Enough
so,
that
so
I'm interested.
Like a Frankenstein was a
or
comedy. You know?
Benjamin Button.
It's weird enough that I'm interested, but then I've seen some of the clips where it's like, okay, I hope this goes dark comedy, not... like really creepy weird shit.
Yeah.
But it's both, I think. That's, so
she won
get
for
both.
That, right?
So she, won.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested.
I
want to
see that one.
But the moments that I truly appreciated that were Oscar moments was the John Cena thing.
That was funny.
Oh,
that
my God.
That was great. And it was done really well.
Yes.
You know, that could have been just a cheap joke, Jimmy Kimmel
100%.
Cheap joke.
Yeah.
But it was done really well, and it made a statement
and
at the same time.
Deliver like he didn't. He's I'm all in. Like literally,
I'm getting naked,
Cena,
which was fantastic.
Cena was great.
Yep.
And the other thing that I really liked was watching Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito come out.
Oh,
and you know, it's the
standing
twins
for them too.
It's that was one of the things. It's like, why are we getting a standing o? But okay, whatever. The two guys and I go, oh, they're doing a twins thing, and no,
they did.
They were doing the
Batman
thing.
Yeah.
With Michael Keaton.
Do you think
audience.
Keaton even knew that it was coming and he
I don't
just
know.
Did his thing?
Probably, but I hope not. I hope Keaton was just like, oh, he's playing. All right, I'm going to be Batman now. Boom, he went right
of
into
course.
It.
I mean, it was supposedly the Oscar moment of the year was the Batman thing.
It was.
Honestly. And it was fantastic.
I really enjoyed that.
I also like the Ken song. I think it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
With Slash. Out there,
yeah. Slash like, played.
Where the hell is Slash come from?
Did you know that that's a copy of "Diamonds Are Girls' Best Friend" from "Gentlemen Prefer Blondes" movie? And I was like, it looked familiar. You're like, I've seen this before. It's a thing.
Right.
And then they show you, and it's like, oh my God, they got it down to the detail on purpose. Right? It was very good. I thought they delivered that great.
Yes, I completely. Agree with all of those moments. They were really good, and therefore it was a successful show.
It
came off really well. Kimmel playing to Trump's tweet during the show.
I missed that part.
Did anybody care about that?
I missed that.
You know, this is his thing now, and I think he enjoys that he can agitate that man.
Oh, I'm sure.
So anytime he gets a chance to rub it in. Scratch the itch, make it worse.
I guess.
I think he does that. Now, did he need to do that? No. Does he know his audience? Yes.
Yeah.
So I think he knew what he was doing. I also think, again, I think he had to fill time at the end of the show. They had two things to present, and it was like 9:05 our time. So it was like, oh, shit, we got 20 minutes.
Oh,
usually
yeah.
we're like... But Abbott Elementary doesn't start for 26 minutes, guys.
Usually they've got 5 minutes and they still have two things
exactly.
to do.
Yeah, exactly.
They need
15.
So
he's like, let me just make up some shit on the go. And it was a great line. Oh, did yeah, he need to dig line. Into it? I mean, it's definitely an opening monologue for him on Monday.
Wait, but didn't Trump win the 2020 election because he was getting free media attention from everybody? I mean, isn't this exactly what we shouldn't be doing?
Exactly. This is part of my,
yeah, like, just ignore the crazy orange person.
We avoid saying the word on this show.
I just said it. I'm
for
sorry.
A year. Or we said we're not no longer going to even say the word.
Well, I'm pretty sure we do not sway the electorate that much. I'm pretty sure.
We could have made we could have made that popular vote.
We have five listeners. Yeah.
That popular vote change in 2020.
None of which are citizens.
Yeah, they're all Serbian or Australian.
So wait a minute. Yeah. Doug is a citizen. Hang on.
Hey, I can vote.
Yeah.
That's true. You can.
Yeah.
All right, well, I thought the Oscars were a worthy watch this this season.
So have you guys seen the Killers of the Flower Moon?
No, I have not.
No. I have tried to start it like four different times. I'm maybe 45. It's a really long, slow. It's like the Moby Dick of movies.
That's the movie you said you want to watch it as like a TV show, right?
Yeah, so I just, it's not I working just started out. Watching. No, it is. Like,
I want to watch it like a sitcom.
I watch it like... you know, when I get on the Peloton, I'll like watch it for a little bit, and then if I get like a text or a message, I'll start working on that and then come back to it. And but it's just kind of boring.
It's an unsolved murder?
No, it's
is it a spoiler?
So I went to see it with a bunch of friends. We rented a literally like a quarter of the theater, so it was like 10 of us. 10 of us there, and you know, it's a Martin Scorsese movie. I love Martin Scorsese, you know, great director. Like, everything about that movie had the makings of literally Oppenheimer, just cleaning out the Oscars, like the cast, the director, the story, everything. And the evening was supposed to be great. You know, we're gonna go watch a movie, then we're going to a brewery. It was, everything was gonna be amazing. It was
really
Friday. I was
that was your. Pre-game?
Yeah, pre-game was the movie, and then go drink, talk about the movie, right?
Okay.
I left the theater.
Did you drown your sorrows?
Fucking furious.
Yeah.
I was so angry. And then there was one dude in the group who kept insisting that the movie was good, and he kept pissing me off even more.
Oh, my God. This sounds very familiar to me, Ross.
Some people love that movie. Like, you look at, like, all
so
these
So you
crits.
Hated the movie?
I hated everything about
the
movie.
Talking about
and that's what it was supposed
Killers
to stir.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
It's supposed to stir that about you to be, like, and I don't know
so,
everything
but
about
he's
it.
Not saying it stirred him up and he didn't like the subject matter, loved the
No,
movie.
So
he hated the movie.
I hated the movie. I hated the way that the story was told.
Oh, okay.
So the thing about it is, like I had script writing class, and one of the most common things our professor was saying was, your purpose is to entertain, to keep somebody's attention. Why would I want to watch a story about that guy? Like, the main character of this movie is unconscious for the 90% of the movie. Like, that's the thing. Like, there was nobody to root for. Everybody in that movie was fucking disgusting.
Well, that's Succession, too. And
that's
a successful
show. Well, that's why I don't
like
Succession for that reason.
But you're supposed to have somebody to root for, somebody to cheer, like, something. Like, even
And what I would argue is, in my example, haven't seen the movie, like, what they did well in Succession is you hated them all, but you cared about this one a little bit more than everybody else at the moment. And so you were always kind of, but then it would change. And
but
it would,
and that was the thing.
Did
like,
they
even,
do that? Did
no. Okay. No, they were all awful. Every single one of them.
Wow.
Every single character was awful.
Well,
in different ways.
So you're
I would
just
say
bored.
I will say Scorsese has a lot of movies where everyone's awful, but I feel they're faster paced and more entertaining. Like Mean Streets, everyone's kind of awful in. Maybe Keitel's the best.
Of course.
Casino, no one's really
but
good in.
There's a redeeming
you're
feature.
Rooting,
like,
you're finding the
you're
hero,
rooting
right?
for somebody. Like even in a TV series like Dexter, where Dexter is a serial killer, a despicable
but you're
human.
For him.
But you're rooting for
you
him
are.
Because
you are.
He
the villains he faces are even worse.
Yeah.
So
that's
so
the point.
It gives you something like the I wanted. To root for the main character and I empathize with her situation, I really do, but she put herself into that situation and she was just completely. There's a.
The actress, the Native American actress who was nominated for best.
Yes, yes, her. But like, how do you nominate her when she was unconscious for the 9% of the movie? Like, he starts drugging her at one point, and she is unconscious for the majority of the movie. She comes to at the end of it, and there's a moment.
Well, I mean, that movie is so long that might mean you still have 45 minutes of speaking dialogue.
Okay, Is it four hours? It's a long movie.
Yeah,
I think that's he needs to stop doing that.
Dude, they keep getting longer. Netflix, okay? The Irishman was too long. Well, this one was even longer.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you right now, I think De Niro doesn't win anymore. Scorsese doesn't win anymore. These old, like, Coppolas, all of it. It's like, you are not going to win anymore. That's not how we do this. Now.
No, no. Like, he didn't deserve it. Like, you can do a four-hour movie, but you have to have material. Like,
I read somebody who just went on a tirade about literally 2 hours. 2 hours.
We call that chapter one and chapter two of the end of your story.
Two hours should be the max.
Mission Impossible is ending.
Oppenheimer was 3 hours, right?
Stop with two-plus hour movie. You don't need 2-plus hours.
So I will say that Oppenheimer needed more time. I think the runtime for Oppenheimer should have been closer to 5 hours.
Then it should
hours.
Be split. Then it should be two episodes.
Yes.
Two
movies.
The editor, the actors in Oppenheimer, and Christopher Nolan specifically. How do you get suspense out of everything you already know happening? It was music, it's the elevation, it's the way they told the story, it's the back and forth. You didn't see the Robert Downey Jr. thing. There were points where just because I had the sound system turned up, I'm like, all right, great, we're going to see a nuclear, like, and it was like, it's dialogue. And my house is shaking, and I'm nervous, and I'm like, what do you mean? What's going to happen here?
Yeah, but you don't
know
what's going
to happen.
How do
you build the suspense when it's all dialogue? There's no action, nothing.
You're watching the story about Oppenheimer himself, not you know the gist of it, but like the things are being sort of colored in.
Stuff that happened.
I think it was both too long and too short at the same time. It was too long for you to watch it. It was too short for the amount of material that they were trying to cover.
Two different storytellers. I'm just saying, like, you're telling a very heavy topic, and one for me to get a suspenseful thing out of what's going to happen here, even though I know it's going to happen. And what you're saying is you never got me out of my doldrums of what's, you know, I know what's happening. This is going in a bad way and it's not ever leaving.
So the spoiler alert, I will say the followers of the Flower Moon. I'm not going to spoil too much, but there is a character in the movie. It is after a while, FBI shows up and starts investigating these people. And there is a Native American investigator that's in their midst that's basically an undercover agent. And there's he gets like three lines, right? He basically goes in undercover and starts, you know, talking to everybody. And he goes to give the report to one of the main characters there about what is going on. I remember him distinctly because I thought that movie would have been a completely different movie and a much better story if it was shown from a prism. Like, just imagine being a Native American working for the FBI in, you know, 18 whatever, right? I mean, the story of that guy would have been absolutely amazing. And if he flipped it...
Wasn't that Lone Ranger and Tonto?
He was over 70. Tonto is undercover.
I'm a bad motherfucker. Sorry, go ahead.
But I'm just saying, if the same story was sent through the prism of a different character, it would have been a completely different movie, and it would have been much, much, much better. But anyway,
damn it, Scorsese,
fucking. So
disappointing. All right, anyway. That's his rant. That was a good one.
That was a
decent rant.
Yeah.
Decent rant. We didn't save anything else for the rant because we can't go. We can't go further. That's it.
All right,
we're on to the next thing.
Tomorrow.
Next week.
Next week. Yeah.
Are we gonna Boeing?
Oh my god.
Oh my god. There.
Are we really going there? The guy,
the whistleblower.
He dead.
Was it the whistleblower that was shown on like Oliver's show just recently?
Oh, no, not that guy.
Different, okay, different guy.
He'll be dead next week. He's going to stab himself. Shit. He's going to stab himself in the back 17 times.
Stab himself in the back.
We touched on last week about the Oliver show, but
the 17th was a little tough.
Yeah.
We got there.
That is scary stuff. It's like, you don't want to fly anymore.
When people who build the plane say, I will never fly the plane I just built, don't fly the plane.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could, because I haven't flown in forever, pick, I don't want to be
that's a
on
great,
a plane
that's new.
That says,
that's that's relatively new.
I got to go to California, or I got to go to Vegas. I'm going to pick my time or my thing, and now I get to pick the plane I'm going to be on.
That is too.
I'm going to exclude an aircraft.
No Boeings.
I will say the last flight I took, I went to New York a few weeks back,
Boeing?
And I got on an airplane, and it was a 737 MAX, and I had the moment of, this is a plane that keeps going down and having issues.
Right.
Why am I on this plane?
I'm always kind of like, if the pilots don't care, you know.
But they fucking
they do.
So, I mean, it's on a related note. You guys probably didn't. This was just amazing. A couple of weeks ago, there was an airplane crash in Serbia. Air Serbia crashed the plane, basically. So everybody was fine, physically, mentally. I will just say, a lot of people needed new underwear, but basically. What happened is, so Air Serbia doesn't really have enough crew and enough planes to actually maintain all of the flights that they actually do. So this particular crew and this particular plane, they were a Greek crew from whatever Greek company, right? So basically they just slap a Air Serbia sticker on it and they go. And the flight was supposed to go, I don't know, I want to say like Belgrade, Crete, right? And back or whatever. And it doesn't really matter. Anyway, so... The pilot was a Greek dude, and the air traffic controller was a woman, which I think in this particular instance is an important fact. So she tells him, you're cleared for takeoff, go to runway 5. And he goes, okay. And he goes and makes a left turn on runway 4. And she goes, what? Sir, that's not runway 5. That's runway 4.
Get the fuck off that runway.
And he goes, okay. And she goes,
beep, beep, beep.
And she goes, sir, that runway is 200 yards shorter. Are you sure you can take off? And he goes, yes, yes, yes.
Fuck it.
Shut up, woman. Fuck off.
Fuck
it was
it.
Literally,
oh, fuck no. it.
And he goes in, doesn't adjust any of the parameters. He literally, he wasn't listening to anything,
he
this
sends
woman.
It.
Yeah. He doesn't send it. That's the thing. He could have gotten off if he fucking sent it, but he didn't.
He does his normal.
He does his normal runway 5 maneuver. He was completely ignoring everything that this woman was saying. And at the end of the runway, he didn't have enough height, and he basically ran the plane into the fence and ripped off a quarter of the fucking fuselage of the plane.
Wow. Well, he's probably luckier he did that than if he got airborne and
Well, the thing about it is now you got a plane that's missing a good portion of its fuselage that's now circling around Belgrade. And I don't know if you know this, but planes can't land immediately because the landing weight... When they fuel the plane,
they got to dump weight.
Mm-hmm. Because the fuel needs to be burnt because fuel weighs X amount, right? So you can only land when you're almost out of fuel. So now he's basically doing circles around Belgrade, burning fuel to get to a weight so he can land. And the passengers are inside of the airplane screaming.
Oh, wait,
because
he is airborne.
He got airborne.
Okay, all right. I misunderstood.
Screaming because they can see the outside. They have windows on the plane. And they were out there for, I want to say, like an hour and a half until he brought
like
them back.
It's like the Alaska Airlines, blowing a hole.
Yeah.
And you know,
it was.
Yeah, you would be. Now, I don't know. Did they dump fuel? They must have dumped fuel in the ocean when...
Oh, they had to. They weren't at cruising altitude yet, so they had just taken off.
Yeah. Or they just took the risk of, we got to put this fucker down right now.
I mean, this goes back to my batshit right-wing sister who believes everything Fox News says, that because of diversity and inclusion, the FAA's hiring people are not qualified to land planes. I'm like, Kathy, they're not hiring mentally ill people to land planes. Yeah. You know, they're doing other jobs. She's like, nope, Fox News says they're diversity and inclusion, they're landing planes.
They've been hiring mentally ill people for Fox News.
The gays are not mentally handicapped.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're just get off talk radio.
Sorry. So I just read that the TikTok ban could be a thing that we're going to push through because 80-year-old senators don't really understand the internet and stuff. So, but it sounds bad for privacy. So,
what sounds bad for privacy?
The way that China has access to information on the phones.
So you're against the 80-year-olds making this decision that might actually improve security? Is that, or data privacy?
Do we think they'll actually do it, and will it? Neither.
I'm against it. I feel like the telemetry that TikTok gives away. I mean, it's like China can get all our Facebook information through public APIs,
just spend $500,000 and get, 7 billion people's information. It's like super easy to get. Mm-hmm. I think that.
But the thing people keep forgetting is, again, I am all for banning TikTok. I think it would be a wonderful idea. They could do Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and we'd all be fucking happier as human beings. That said, I don't think banning anything is a good idea. But, like, your network is fucked the moment a device with a Chinese chip enters your network. Like, if you have a friend who has a Huawei phone, he comes online and connects to your Wi-Fi, all of your accounts are fucked.
I have a security system. Closed circuit television runs on a DVR thing. It's got a China chip in it.
At a bar. At
Here's what happens. It's one of all of them have it. That's what that's my modus operandi. So, anyways, Xfinity is pretty smart because every time a router blocks something, it doesn't usually tell you, but Xfinity says we just blocked something that's coming in. This security system gets blocked from a port that it's trying to get into at least twice a day. I get a notice on my phone. I had to turn it off. But I get twice a day saying a port to your security system, your camera system, was blocked because they tried to come in a different way. You can operate the video over this port, but coming in a different one means they have different access, etc. So I get notifications all the time. So you're absolutely right. They're not going to tell this Chinese company you got to sell it to an American company. That's never going to happen because that is basically saying we want to reverse.
Well, they're hoping the company will
voluntarily. We could get all the data and then we'll spy on China, which will never, it's not going to happen. Well, so they're not going to reverse anything. They're not going to stop the spying. Every app on your phone is already doing what it's supposed to be doing and getting your information and sharing with everybody on the planet. So,
I mean, there's a decent chance it could work. I mean, I don't know, but they might say the Chinese market is not worth losing the U.S. market. And
I agree.
So they might, have somebody else buy it. I don't know though.
So I have a.
But then there might also be like some sort of relationship with China, where they're, some sort of guy in a black jacket's like, yeah, if you want to see your family again, you're not selling it. I don't know.
He smokes. Yeah, it's that guy.
Yeah.
He smokes.
But so the military has already said you can't have TikTok on your phone because it knows where you are. So then China knows where you are, so therefore China knows where our military is. So I get that.
Were you the one that posted? Somebody posted this that apparently the Chinese now, when they like ship equipment to the United States for various things where it's a cell phone tower, it's a crane thing, it's a anything that kind of goes higher than like 12 feet in the air, they have started to, this is my propeller head sort of whatever tinfoil hat moment, yeah, right? Yeah. Tinfoil hat moment. Thank you. They're apparently putting things that are actually surveilling us in those things. Because
wait, is it 5G?
We buy so many balloons?
But does it have 5G?
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I just wonder, like, maybe, and maybe they do that. It and, like, hey, it can, you know, down the road we'll figure out how to read this data.
Right.
Because,
right.
like, the volume of data that would be to decipher in a meaningfully real-time way would
it's,
be
it's capturing
impossible.
Data and it's relaying it to any, like, local device, you know, Chinese-built mobile phone, which is then relaying it to some other thing, which is then relaying it to that balloon that was sent over.
Was that going to be an annual thing now?
We didn't shoot
sending
it down
shit
fast
over?
Enough.
They'll collect all the data one time a year and then bring it home? Okay,
This is, yeah, like filing taxes. this is somewhat related. Now, I forgot to post it to our channel, but I was reading, the Washington Post had this a pretty interesting deep dive into what we're learning about modern technology in the Ukraine war. And there are now these missiles that the U.S. has built where instead of being heat sinking, it's Wi-Fi sinking.
Oh,
so
sure.
It will just land on a Russian tent that has Wi-Fi turned on for the devices there. Or it will look for just a 5G signal and it will land there. And they were talking about how dangerous it is to just have a smartphone on you in war now. That you are basically like wearing a huge bullseye if you have any kind of activated from any country smartphone on you right now.
Right, because the technology is so anything that looks like this, I'm going to send it. And what is the guidance?
RFID,
the guidance
Bluetooth,
is,
Wi-Fi.
Make sure you're across the line before you fire this.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe's iPhone's coming at us. Get ready. Get ready
Meanwhile,
to fire.
That poor, you know, prisoner of war who is, you know, still has his phone or whatever is now screwed, right? He's the guy. It's funny what you can sort of focus on, and the fact that they're using that technology to choose to focus on, that's pretty broad. That's pretty everywhere. Now you're talking about a lot more civilians that just get hit. Because
since when do we care about civilians? I thought.
Come on now, Ross.
Here we go.
What was that? Collateral?
One other tech thing I thought
Says
I'd bring
the
up
Serbian.
Was the Apple Epic battle that's been going back and forth. And I had an LOL moment recently. So Apple lost, especially in the UK, the Epic. We want to have our own store to sell stuff without you charging us a crazy amount of money inside the game. And they're like, anytime somebody buys shit, it's got to go through us. We want our cut. You can't have your own in-store game, in-game store. So they went back and forth. They lost in the UK. They're going to figure it out eventually how they don't have to pay as much for every single skin that anybody buys in Fortnite. And people buy a lot of shit in Fortnite. I know. First thing. But what ended up happening was Epic kind of wins, but Apple gets away with some stuff. They don't have to do everything. So the day that it launched, supposed to launch in the UK, where they've lost completely, they banned the developer's account in their store. So they can't deploy anything because they say that the developer account that deploys for Epic into our store has been abusing our policies and everything. And it was a two-day ban from then deploying anything that they thought they were, oh, great, in the UK we're going to push the Epic Games and Fortnite and everything, we're all in. Here we go. And they're like, nope, sorry. Your terms of service have been violated multiple times by your developer accounts. You can't push anything into our store. So they couldn't do anything for 2 days. And then Apple was like, nah, it's okay. I guess you're fine. It's no big deal.
I think they're...
So it was like a whole, just to troll them with, we could do this anytime, by the way. Like,
I think they're...
Nobody reads the U-Law. You got violations every, like...
I think their bullyism in the App Store is going to be like their downfall for the iPhone. I think they're way over the top with everything. And I think it's just going to make Droids and other options more popular.
There are no other options. There are no more Microsoft operating. I mean, basically, you got an Android or you got an iPhone.
Those are the options. I think it's going to... I think because of how... aggressive and difficult Apple is, I think that's going to change. I
think Do you think iPhone users even know what they're missing?
Do you think? I think that's because of policy changes that will be forced upon them, which will make it less attractive. Which effectively, it will become. They're the same. They're virtually the same, and now it becomes less attractive to be on one or the other because they're just the same.
Unless Apple gives up the bullyism, but like, what if the changes just means an Apple app in the UK doesn't work the same way as it does in America?
And I think they'll go that
route.
Because
what if Apple's like, well, we're still going to be assholes. We'll be as big of an asshole as we can be, and according to all local policies, rather than.
Many people, Apple will claim from a security perspective, we don't want your kids to be able to install an app that says 12 and under is fine, and then get in the app, and then it's, well, there's a whole store where we don't control the credit card information, or we're going to pay something, or it's Apple Pay connected or whatever. We don't have control inside the game if they're doing that stuff. So security for your kids, security, you know, the big boogeyman, and that's how many people go about scaring you into doing things. So that's kind of where it's at. And people for a long time have said, at least Apple's been pretty good about that. They do protect us. My kid can't install stuff if I've got stuff set up, and et cetera.
But the idea that to do that and to provide that level of security, you need a third of the revenue is insane. You
know? 100% agree.
It should be like 5% tops, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's Epic thought they were going to win the battle of let's get the percentage down for everybody.
Yeah.
And it was just, well, yeah, give it your shot, Epic. We'll let you see how you can do in our world with our thing where you try to put your own store in. And guess what? It's only UK for now. We'll see how we have bigger lobbyists in the U.S. than you do. Sorry.
Yeah. So fair. But since we're talking about Apple,
here we go.
Did you know that they killed the car that they were working on?
Yeah.
You saw that?
Yeah.
They killed the car. They just you know what? We've dropped $10 billion in this, and $10 billion.
Just write it off.
It's just not going to happen.
It's like Russell Wilson. Let's just write it off.
I think it's the right call.
It was an electric car, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys are so
self-driving? It was built to be fully autonomous.
There's a couple of things. Self-driving cars are not going to happen.
Nope.
Because
that's why they killed it.
It's not because of what you guys sort of think. It's because when people talk about self-driving cars, they talk about the American suburbs. And American suburbs are great, but that's, you know, there's 330 million people living in America. There's about 8 billion living in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I challenge every single one of you to come to Belgrade, which hosts 2 million people, and to look at the traffic and to tell me that self-driving cars are going to be able to deal with this insanity.
Never.
And the thing about it is, there are worse places than Belgrade. There's Istanbul. Mexico. There's Mexico.
I might argue that it won't work in a hybrid world. It won't work if you drop a self-driving car in there, because then a self-driving car is going to go, I can't move because of everything going on around me.
Which basically means it won't work because, you know, one third of the human population is below the absolute poverty line, which means that you're all, like, for the foreseeable future, you are going to have human drivers in one shape or another.
I continue to believe that it will be an evolution. It won't be a revolution that everybody thinks it's going to be. It's going to happen just like London and New York, did they do that too, where they basically said, okay, you're going to pay a fine or you're going to pay a fee to drive in this central part of the city.
Right.
New York.
To maintain some level of
tolls.
We have too much traffic.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we're going to control it this way. That's going to be the part where they go, all right, autonomous driving happens in this area and nobody else.
Well, I agree, but I sort of disagree. I think autonomous driving is going to happen, like, the first place we're going to see it is going to be like where there's a financial incentive and where the right conditions. And the financial incentive
trucking.
And the right conditions.
Express exactly.
Highway and trucking. Fucking trucking. Yeah. Highway trucking is going to be the first thing that happens, and it's going to go away.
And if you talk to my trucker buddy, he says that they're pretty much there now. Like the machines do what they do, and in some ways the trucks that they drive that don't have all the technology already do so much on their own. You know, I'm like, how is it that you're on your phone and doing all this social media all the time? You are scaring the shit out of me. He goes, these trucks do everything.
Like, so they were. They
I,
were
I will yeah. say. So I had my first, my car stopped by itself, incident in my life, last week of the week.
The parking
before.
Lot or what?
Yeah, I was drunk. I got finally, in my car. I thought I'd drive. No,
finally, somebody went. Yeah, no. No, we're stopping Dion.
So. My car, basically, if I get too close, it warns me, and then it really warns me, and then it vibrates my seat, and then everything stops. Lights up, yep. And then it's like, I'm just going to stop you. You're an idiot. So it was a light turned green. I went. The car in front of me didn't go.
Yep.
My car said, what are you fucking doing?
And yeah,
it,
yeah.
It stopped me. But I was gas brake, but before I got to the brake, it had already braked. So, I mean, I had time. But it knew you're being dumb before I knew I was being dumb. And it and everybody in the car was like, what was that? Because it's like a feel in
yeah.
the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. It's great. And I'm like, the car just stopped me from hitting the car in front of me. Even though I was already going to the brake and was, you know, don't worry about it. I was paying attention. They're like, yeah, sure, Dad. But that was, that is nice to have. I think that's pretty cool. And I think on the expressway for people where they're in that middle lane or third lane and they're cruising, that could be nice where it gives you distance, slows you down, takes care of it. I think those are good things.
I sort of agree with you.
Those are okay, but not in cities, not downtown areas, not downtown Chicago.
I was literally walking from the office to the mart. I was going back home. And I saw a guy in a Tesla. He was literally holding a phone and doing a video call from the driver's seat of the car, yeah. not giving a fuck.
Where?
So it's Wacker and Lake. He was making a left turn from Lake onto Wacker. And he passed by me, and I just went like, what in the actual fuck, you asshole?
If as only a pedestrian, he had the Apple visual on. The
oh, thanks for bringing that. As a pedestrian, I am. We talked about this yesterday, the bikes and the fact that pedestrians don't pay attention with bike lanes and people driving Teslas or, you know, these mm-hmm. big ass trucks that they can't see. As a pedestrian, I am far more aware today than I was.
Oh yeah,
5 years ago.
Pedestrian deaths are going up and up every year because drivers are becoming more distracted. Our cars are becoming bigger. You know.
Yep. Yep. So you got to be very aware as you walk across streets.
That's why you got to wear the Apple Vision so that you know when to walk or not walk.
So you brought that up. So this is becoming way too Apple centric, but I just heard that it was used in a surgical operation recently. Yes. Are you fucking kidding me?
What did I tell you about a mechanic using it to diagnose an engine?
A mechanic! Okay!
That's fine, yeah. Not a surgery.
So, yeah, but we don't know so how it was used. Maybe it was just playing like,
I mean,
music,
you walk in.
Oil change, heart surgery. Yeah. What's the difference?
Wait, you're wheeled into the like gurney and the whole routine. Yeah, and there's the anesthesiologist, and you see somebody with one of those on, you go, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
He goes to shake your hand. He keeps missing it. I'll be your surgeon. Wait, where are you?
I can't get this thing down.
Yeah. What are they doing with this thing on their... I mean, is it literally this is how you perform an appendectomy? Is it what are they looking at?
I wouldn't be surprised if it did something extraordinarily minor or maybe even just played music or something. An Apple is using it as a PR
a promotion,
like, you know.
That's all it was. It
promotion.
So it can recognize what's inside you when you're open. And it's like, oh, that's
the
those
heart.
Are those hey, are doc, organs. Hey, doc, don't cut that one.
Yeah.
So not the red cord, the green cord.
Somebody remind me. Does he have one or two spleens?
It's like an overlay of the whole like operation. Cut here, little dashed line.
It buzzes if you actually cut the wrong thing.
Yeah, it's like operation.
Yeah, literally.
But that's
it reminds me of that.
Your watch vibrates a little bit. Oh shit!
It reminds me of that Futurama episode where Zoidberg goes, "Fry, remind me, disemboweling your species, lethal or not lethal?"
Yes. I just think it was an overlay that somebody was looking at, and it just reminded them of something and not stopped them from like, oh, I almost took your heart out for it accidentally. Like, it was a overlay that was like, that helped me remember that that's the one, the place to follow the thing. And it
that's
was
a little that that the fact I that think you're it was, arguing it that way makes it even more disconcerting.
Yeah. But I think that's all it was a that was helpful and it made me make a decision quicker than think it about
it. Sounds like Spies Like Us when Chevy Chase is doing the surgery.
Oh, yeah,
and he just looks up at the doctors are like,
here,
yeah, exactly,
here?
Yeah.
I think it was an aid and not a, well, shit, if I wasn't wearing the Apple Vision Pro, you'd be fucking dead. Like, I don't think it was.
I'm actually a janitor here.
The doctor couldn't make it today. But as the custodian.
Doesn't this thing look cool on my face? No, it wasn't really that. I don't think it was life-saving. It was more of a tool that could be used that showed some value. That's right. All.
And all the videos that I've seen of this device, so, you know, was he watching MTV in the whatever you'd watch in the corner, some, you know, streamer playing a video game at the same time.
Yeah. You've got Twitch on one side, YouTube on the other, and then the surgical procedure in the middle. Yeah, it's perfect. Mm-hmm.
Definitely don't want to be anywhere near that. That's all I'm saying. All right, guys. I am getting hungry or gotten hungry. Yeah, so we're all starving. We have been the Worldwide IT Guys. Thank you all for listening. Yeah. Catch you next time. Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.